Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show. Today is Monday. It is the day after Easter, and for some of you, the day after Resurrection Sunday. You had a great week all last week, had a powerful, wonderful weekend spent with family and friends. Friday, for many of you, you were attending Good Friday services all around the world, Holy Thursday services all around the world, Saturday services all around the world. And if you're anything like me, you had a super, super fantastic time. I mean, Friday was off the chain. Saturday started out, and I mean on the East Coast here in New Jersey, we had rain like you wouldn't believe. I thought we were going into another 40 days of rain, but it was like back in Noah's day. It was rain everywhere. I was about to look for my ark because that was way too much rain. But we enjoyed it because we realized that things have to happen the way they have to happen, and we just sit back and we just enjoy it. Well, then Saturday morning started with and a fundraiser and breakfast in Newark, New Jersey. I attended that for just a short time, but I was over there with the, I was invited by Miss Donye Huffman, and the awesome women for Lavender and Lace were all there looking sharp. Left there, dashed out of there to go over to Jersey City to the Liberty House restaurant down on the water. Gorgeous, gorgeous facility there with my husband to take part in an award ceremony to honor women. Their theme, I Am Woman. That was an awesome event. The room was packed, and my husband and I were there. And my good friend Crystal Jones was being honored for the work that she is doing with in the community there in Jersey City, along with about 12 or 13 other women also being honored. They had singing, they had people reading, doing some spoken word type of reading. The mayor from Camden was there, and also the mayor from Jersey City. So it was just a really, really an awesome affair. A lot of powerful women in the room, and that event was hosted by Senator Cunningham, and her, part of her territory is Jersey City. But she's doing other things in the Senate of New Jersey. She is also the, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she is the majority whip or something like that. She's something, some committee head. And so she's holding down her own. She is truly a woman. So it was just a star-studded weekend. And then we left there and had to go over to Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey, where they were having their nurses gospel extravaganza. And that was awesome. I heard very, very powerful singers all the way from, I think the youngest singer may have been around age 6. And I mean, this little girl could sing. And then there were some other boys singing around age 9, 12 or so, all the way up to the eldest singer might have been 80. But everyone singing their hearts out and singing to the glory of God. So it was just an awesome, awesome weekend, and we have great, wonderful things coming up. So today is Monday, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I trust that your weekend was just as exciting, and if it wasn't, well, it was your opportunity to bring some excitement into your life. So we're going to be talking today about the power of adversity. We're going to be teaching you how to take your adversities and turn them into ammunition to achieve your goals in life. Yes, how to take your adversities and turn them, transform them into ammunition to achieve every goal that you have set in your life. The power of adversity. Because I believe that so many people sleep on this very fact. They do not fully embrace how an adversity is not just an obstacle or a challenge to your life, but yet it is ammunition. It is something that can help you win at achieving your goals. And winners we are. So we're going to talk about that today, this morning on the show. And we're going to get that underway in just a few moments. But I just want to give a shout out. Good morning. Continued birthday wishes for all of you April birthday people. It's Tina Lane, it's Hope Harper, it's Jan L. Muhammad, my other sister, whose birthday was on Saturday. Also, Friday. Happy birthday shout out to Mr. Howard Scott. We know he also had a birthday this month. So all kinds of birthdays. Mr. George Fraser, his birthday was also just a couple of days ago. And for those of you who don't know George, you might want to check him out. Very powerful, dynamic empowerment leader in the world. And he does really, really big empowerment success conferences. So if you're into success, if you're into motivation, if you're into reaching your goals, achieving your goals, accomplishing what God has put you on this earth to accomplish, you may also want to connect with him. You know, it's all about connection. It's all about connections this year. I know in December when we were at the Releasing Your Inner Power retreat, we were at the Releasing Your Inner Power retreat at the Wyndham Hotel last December 10th through the 12th, we were talking about connection. I said that was the word for 2011, connection. I announced it to the group that Saturday, and sure enough, it has been one powerful, dynamic connection after another. This year started with powerful, powerful connections, and Miss Virginia Dancy being right there, being the embodiment of a powerful connection right at the retreat, then went down to North Carolina and decided to bring this conference, Releasing Your Inner Power. And I know some people are still wondering, what is it all about? Well, just stay tuned. Don't go away. And you will find out what it is about. But it is actually about finding your purpose and living your life, exploiting all of your potential. Because some people are going to the grave not having exploited even 10% of their potential. Not even 10%. So imagine, that's 90% away from 100. People have gotten comfortable, maybe fearful even. Maybe they've allowed their adversities to stop them from achieving all that God has made available to them. See, you got to realize that what is available to you is unlimited. There is no limit to what is available to us. We set the limits. We set the limits on ourselves because we hear that little voice that tells us, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you won't do this, and you won't do that. You needn't do this, you needn't do that. You're not able to do this. You don't have enough money. You're not the right skin color. You're not the right race. Your hair isn't the right length. Your body isn't the right shape. And your health isn't at a level where it should be. These are the voices that stop us. You don't have enough money. You don't know what to do with money. You know, all kinds of voices that stop us from achieving our fullest potential in life. That's achieving our greatest skill sets, our greatest abilities, our greatest accomplishments. And some people are so confused because they're looking for happiness. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking to be fulfilled. I meet people and I've seen people, and you probably met them too, and you probably know some of them, who are highly depressed. They're covering it up on the outside because they've learned through habit and routine how to put on the makeup, how to do the hair, how to put on a nice outfit. So on the outside, they look extremely successful and extremely happy, but they are highly depressed individuals. And if they would ever take the time and you sit down and listen to them, you'd find out that they are highly depressed. Why? Because they're living unfulfilled lives. They are not happy. They don't even know what, they cannot even express what happiness means to them. They are not fulfilled. They are not happy. But yet, they're living. They're going day by day. And you may wonder, how can this be? How can this happen? Well, there's lots of reasons that this can happen. I can't do any justice to all the reasons why this can happen in this short of a time. We only have an hour, not even a whole hour left to the show. So 1 hour is not enough. It's not adequate to figure this thing out. However, what I will say is that a lot of what holds people back is fear. Fear and doubt. It's as if they're in a cage that cage. But it's learned, what it's a term that the psychologists call learned helplessness. Learned helplessness. And it's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's bigger than what you can ever imagine. And again, I don't have time to adequately go into it today, but I will at another point. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a coaching session coming up. We're starting our coaching. We're launching it bigger than we've ever launched it in the past 2 years, and we're about to launch it big. But we're going to be helping people beyond their learned helplessness. And it's a big problem, believe me. It's the reason why so many people are letting their adversities overtake them. They're letting their adversities overwhelm them, as opposed to them overwhelming their adversities or overcoming their adversities. But I'm here today to tell you, you have to take back your power. You have to grab it. You have to snatch it. Okay? You have to wake up and realize that you, and only you, have the power to overcome your adversities. And the way you're going to do it is step by step, systematically, you're going to transform your adversities into ammunition. That's right. It's like taking your problems and making them your stepping stone to success. Okay? It's the same thing as understanding that your setup, that you've been set up, or your setback rather, is been a set up for your comeback. And I'm telling you, when I realized that, just that quote alone has taken me from ground zero to, you know, 160 seconds or less, so to speak, like those car speeds. You watch those commercials and they tell you, oh, this car can go from zero to 120, you know, in 60 seconds. Well, that's what your life is like. You can go step by step and achieve greatness. A setback, if you believe this, if you receive this and believe it, sometimes, you know, the steps to achieving your goals are the steps to, like, our goal today is to transform our adversities into our ambitions, taking our to ammunition to achieve our ambitions. There you go. From adversity to ammunitions to ambitions. What are you ambitious for? And I'm not talking about for foolish stuff. I'm talking about important stuff, stuff that's important, stuff that's critical to society. I'm not talking about you're ambitious to, you know, be a shopaholic, or you're ambitious to be a workaholic. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about being ambitious to achieve greatness in your life, being ambitious to help others overcome their setbacks, their problems, to teach people how to live a life of purpose. And so we were saying that the quote, I love it, a setback is a setup for a comeback. And if you break it down, it breaks down this way. You look at, okay, what is the setback? The setback might be, I have to drop out of school. I just got fired from a job. Husband or wife just divorced me. Children run amok. You know, they're not talking to me. There's no relationship there with the children. Company just closed down. Tornado hit my city. Hurricane hit my city. Tsunami hit my city. Whatever, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever the adversity, an illness, a debilitating disease, friends turn their back on but it's so horrible there, I want to quit every day. You know people like that with those kind of jobs? They go to work every day hating their jobs, but afraid to step out and do something else. Okay, well, that's another show. So this adversity or this setback, same thing, setback, adversity, no difference, no difference. They're the same, one and the same. And by the way, good morning, all you lovely, lovely, lovely people out there. Good morning to those of you on the switchboard, to those of you in the chat room this morning. Good morning, good morning. Those of you who know individuals who are right in the midst of some traumatic situations, and what do we do? What do we say when we're around them? Sometimes we are forced to agree with their problem. Yeah, we are. We are forced to agree with their adversity. We are bound to allowing their problems to be the pitfall that they'll never get up from. Why? Because a lot of times the behavior that we have with individuals is based on how they see themselves. You see, unless you are a motivational expert, because remember, motivation is about change. So unless you are a change expert, and not everyone is, nor does everyone desire to be, I just so happen to desire it. It's my purpose. I didn't even know what it was until it fell in my lap. And so I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm into change. But if I look back over my life from the time I was a little girl, as far as back as I can remember, 3, 4, and those types of things, age groups, everything in my life supported the fact that I would today be a chief change agent. Everything in my life supports that. But there are people who you talk to, they don't want to change. And the way you can tell is that their conversation tells the story. There's two ways you can always tell what people are. You know, the Word of God says that you can judge, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as a person thinks, they will speak, because people speak what's in their head. So you can always tell what people are thinking. You know, people always say, oh, I wonder how they could read people so well. Oh, I wonder how they could read me. Oh, I wonder how they knew. I wonder how they knew what I was thinking. You know, we say that, how did they know what I was thinking? We say that, right? Well, that's why, because they hear what we're saying. And basically, what we say is what we're thinking. And so all people got to do is listen to you talk. And once you listen to people talk long enough, you will know how they think. And that's how we know sometimes that people want to stay trapped. And not only that, you will be more inclined to go with their trap, to stay with their trap, to be a part of their trap. Because as you're trying to talk to them, they're not trying to listen. They're not trying to hear. They're not trying to accept change. Now, change, there are good changes here and there are bad changes. We know that. But we're talking about the positive change here. We're talking about the motivated change. We're talking about the inspired change that's going to take you higher and higher and higher. But you have to accept your adversities. And I'm talking about going, you know, light years beyond accepting the adversity, but actually understanding the power in it, allowing that adversity, the very thing that has you stumped or the very thing that has set you back, understand that it is going to be a chief element of your comeback. And here's the thing, and I love to say this, I'm coming back bigger and better. Bigger and better, you see. You got to come back bigger and better. You cannot let a setback hold you back. You cannot let a setback keep you back. When you have a setback, an adversity, understand that the adversity has only come to make you strong, better, and wiser. That's it. It didn't come for any other reason. But people, because of the way they were trained and developed and their life experiences, sometimes believe that a setback is the end of a thing for them. It means that for some, you know, even people will feel like, well, what did I do to deserve this? Or, I was so unfortunate, you know, this is karma coming back on me. I hear all these kinds of words. Karma or not, it doesn't matter. People might say, well, you reap what you sow. Reap and sowing or not, here's the thing. A setback, it is a setup for a comeback. But guess what? It won't be for the person who doesn't believe this. It is only for those that can believe it. And so part of my challenge on the Coach Lalisa Show is to change your belief system. See, if we could ever change your belief system, now we can leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know, we can do like the whole Superman thing. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Superman. You know, he's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Now we can do some of this super stuff that some of us grew up watching on television. And I know if Paul Kiriazzi was in the chat room with us about now, he's probably laughing, saying, I can hear you now, Paul. But exactly. Now we got to be this superhero. But for our own life, you know, Superman, I used to love Superman as a kid. Superman was my favorite TV show. Yeah, go figure. A little girl, that was my absolute favorite TV show, was Superman. I loved how, you know, he would go into that phone booth and he would change that just by taking off those glasses. And you know, he always took the glasses off before he went into the booth. Always, you know. And that was letting you know he was about to go to it, y'all. And I loved me some Superman. He would take off those glasses, snatch off that necktie, because he was always, as Clark Kent, as a news reporter, he always had on a suit. And he'd snatch off that tie and that jacket, and boy, he'd come out that phone booth, voila, you know, ready to battle, ready to take on any adversity. He did not let the setback hold him back. Even when his enemies would give him all of this, what was it, kryptonite, that to try to diminish his power, he never gave up because he always believed that he would win. And that's what you have to believe. You have to start thinking like a winner because you are one. And why not think like who you are? Why not? That's who you are. You may as well believe it. You may as well think like one. And if you're going to think like one, you may as well talk like one. And if you're going to talk like one, you may as well take action like one. And if you take action like one, you might as well be one. So if you are a winner, winners get power from adversities. They don't set us back. They don't hold us back. They set us back, but they don't hold us back. All they do is make us go to the drawing board, come up with a set of instructions on how to launch, not only ahead, but way ahead. That's why sometimes I say, oh, I'm back, bigger and better. See, we got to come back, but you got to come back bigger and better. You don't just come back the same thing that you were. That would be no value, really, in that kind of overcoming the adversity. Oh, no, no, no. The power in adversity is when you come back bigger and better. You come back better. And that's because we've internalized this adversity and we've allowed it to make us better and stronger. You, in other words, the adversity took you to the drawing board. See, that's the problem with people. They go, the adversity comes, and they go sit in a corner, and they stew, and they cry, they complain, they call everybody they know, everyone they know, and other some people they don't know. Well, nowadays people know a lot of people because they're on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and these kinds of networking sites. And so now people have, they have more people that they know than they ever known in the history of mankind. It's never been this easy. Look, we got Paul all the way over in Tokyo, Japan. There's no way I could have known Paul without Facebook. There would be no way. And Blog Talk Radio. We actually met on Blog Talk Radio. No way I would know Mr. J. Early. No way I'd know Coach K. No way I'd know Mr. Versi Walker. And so many others. No way you would be here, Relationship Buzz. No way you would be here, John Slim. No way. No way. See, but so we know more people than we ever know, and that, and unfortunately, can increase sometimes this debilitating behavior of when we get into an adversity, instead of rising up out of it and being better, instead of going to the letting that adversity take us to the drawing board, we let it take us to the drowning board. And then we drown in our adversity. And guess what happens? Based on the law of attraction, once we go one step into focusing on the negativity of the adversity, guess what happens? Bingo, you're right. More adversity comes your way. It just goes without saying. And then what happens? When more comes, well, more loves more. More loves more. But what I'm trying to teach you here today is how to take the power of your adversity to become better, bigger, better, smarter, wiser, more, greater, astonishing, you name it, you can do it. You got to claim it. You must do it. The adversity of a love lost, use that as a way to establish some type of foundation for that love. It amazes me. I see some people, they sit and mourn the death of a great loved one for years and years and years. Well, you could have taken that same death and started a foundation. There's scholarship foundations. There are small business foundations that you could start. There are other health foundations you could start, breast cancer, this kind of, there's about 50 million 11 cancers out there that you can start a foundation for in the honor of someone. And as opposed to every time someone mentions that, you know, you cringe or you go into a funk or some deep trance. Why? You see, we're not taking the adversity, and we're not empowering ourselves. Empowered. There are people who have lost their jobs and had to go on welfare. And they've let that now hold them back, and now they've spent years and years on welfare. No, you should have taken the adversity, taken that time, gone to the drawing board, not the drowning board. You got set back, but you don't have to stay back. If you can get up, like Les Brown says, you can look up. If you can look up, you can get up. In other words, if you get knocked down, look up. Look to where you're going. If you're looking down, you're looking. Don't look to it because you're looking where you're going either way. So don't look down because that's where you're headed. No, look up because if you believe that you can see it, then you'll have it. If you believe that you can have it, you will. It's that simple. According to Mark 11:24, if you believe that you receive it, then you've already got it. And the power to overcome every adversity. But remember, we want more than just to overcome it. We want to soar like eagles. We want to come back. We want to take that adversity, make it an ammunition that is going to create something that we can achieve. Something great, something great. Every time something happens to me, you see, that's the first thing I do. This is the first thing Lalisa's going to do is I'm looking for what can I make great out of this situation. You meant it for bad, but listen, I'm about to use this thing to bless my socks off. What? So the next time an adversity comes your way, I know the natural propensity may be to go to the drowning board. Don't go to the drowning board. Go to the drawing board. I don't care what the adversity is. Loss of job, close of business, lost your spouse, lost your children, lost your job, lost your mind. I dare people losing their mind. I tell them the same thing. Get to that drawing board. Come away from the drowning board. Don't jump off the deep end. I know there's a desire, there's an urging within us to do it. Life is over. You know, that's the first thing we hear. Oh, life is over. I know people who, you could take two people. I know two people, two 14-year-old girls. One 14-year-old girl, she got pregnant. She continued school. She graduated, went to college, went and got a master's, went and got a PhD. Took another kid, 14-year-old, had a baby, stayed at home, didn't do nothing for the next 30 years, did absolutely nothing, but pass on that same mentality to her child and her child's child and her child. So like four generations of that stuff. Why? Because the first person with the adversity did not understand the power in the adversity, and here is the power. I've been giving it to you for the past 35 minutes. I hope you've gotten it, but just in case it has not been real clear, because sometimes I can talk about five or eight different things at one time, but let me make the power of this adversity very, very clear. The power of the adversity is that you take the adversity and you allow it. You go to the drawing board and you use that adversity for something much greater that is going to impact not just you, but that is going to impact others. If you put others first, it's going to affect you eventually. But if you do it, because one of the ways to come out of the adversity is to take the focus off of yourself. But as long as you sit back and say, as long as you are allowed to keep the focus on you, poor me, look at what happened to me. Look at how things are messed up for me. Look at how things won't work out for me. Look at what I got to go through now for me. As long as you're doing that, you will never see what I'm talking about here, which is the power of adversity. The only way to benefit, to realize the benefits from the power of adversity, and the benefits are to be happy, to be fulfilled, to achieve your God-given purpose, to live with purpose and power every single day of your life, to get up happy even when you don't want to. Do you know that when you are living a life of purpose and of power, and that you see the power in adversity, even when you get up in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, whatever your day may look like, because some people, I know they get up all different times of the day. Their biological clocks are different. Not everybody is on the same biological clock. But whatever time you get up, it doesn't matter. Even when you get up, sometimes you may feel a little out of it, out of sorts. Today, another day, whatever. Trust me, when you're living on purpose and power with passion, after a few seconds, you're in it. You're like, okay, bring it on. What's up? What we got to do? What's going on today? Let's make it happen right now, right here. This thing is done. This thing is a done deal. But that's the benefits. Those are the benefits of understanding and believing and receiving and taking it to a whole nother level of achievement, the power of your adversity. But far too many people, I found, and it's been my experience, that far too many people are drowning in the adversity. They're going to the drowning board and not the drawing board. And I can understand why. And one of the chief reasons is that there hasn't been enough teaching on this very point. which is why I'm here teaching it today. And so please feel free to refer anyone that, you know how we do, you know, we go to church and we hear these sermons, we always feel it's for somebody else. We never feel it's for us. Oh, so-and-so should have been here to hear that. No, you should have been there to hear it. That's why you were there. Now, it may be that you want to make a copy and give to someone, not a problem, but the fact of the matter is, you were there. And me and my sister, we laugh about that all the time. Because that's where we lived for, that's where I lived for the first I've been married 21 years, and I lived in that camp for probably 19 of those 21 years. No, not quite 19, but Listen, my mother passed in 05, so probably a good 13 years I lived there. She's passed away 6 years now, so it was about 2 years before she passed away, so 8 years ago. So then I finally, to about 12 years I lived there, and my marriage is that, oh, he needs to hear this, and he needs to hear that, and he needs to change in this spot, and he needs to change in that place. And then it finally dawned on me, it's like, no, God had to really speak to me. A very, not loud voice, because God can get loud if he wants to now. We know the Holy Spirit speaks in a still small voice, but God will get loud on you, y'all. Hold up now. So he simply said to me, all right, Lalisa, enough is enough. It's not, listen, you focus on you. I'll take care of him. I'm dealing with him. You deal with you, and that's, you know, so that's like a constant reminder. So it broke a habit for me. I no longer go to church now and say, so-and-so needs to hear this sermon, but, you know, I grew up with that, and that's what you always heard as a child. People always said that. Ooh, sister so-and-so need to hear this. Brother so-and-so need to hear. No, you need. So, you know, that's what the word came to me, was that, no, you need to hear it. So, but maybe this message you feel is for someone you know. I don't know. Call them up. Take it to them. You could have called and told them to get on the line. You know, if you really felt it was for them, text them, email them, send them an inbox on Facebook and tell them to come on and listen. Or it'll be in the archives forever. Mark this date. This is the day we talked about the power of adversity, and tell them to go listen to the show with that date on it. But people need to know. They need to stop drowning and start drawing. Stop drowning. You know, now I wonder why they make every child learn how to draw, because you're going to need it for life. You know, and I remember when I was in kindergarten, first grade, that's the first thing we did in kindergarten was paint. That was the first thing they did. They had those little easels, and they had the finger holes, because they knew it wasn't no sense of trying to give us a brush. So they just said finger paint, you know, dip your finger and go to work. And so I remember that, though, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. I remember in all of those classes we had to take art. And at first I didn't like it. You know, I wasn't all that good at it, I didn't think, until I got to the fourth grade. And the teacher says, oh, you're very good. All it takes is one teacher, just one teacher. I'm telling you, I'll never forget that. I still think I can draw pretty good, though, you know, I don't think I'm the greatest artist. I haven't really tried, but I feel that, you know, I do a lot of flyers. Many of you see flyers that I post on Facebook all the time. Most of those flyers I do myself. People always tell me, oh, you did good. I know I have some kind of an artistic eye, but it goes back to that fourth grade teacher who told me, you're good. It's just one person. It's all it takes is one person to tell you that you're great, especially at a young age like that. And so imagine the impression that left on me, just very simple, just one time, you're good. So imagine when we're telling young people over and over and over that they're bad. You're bad, you're bad, you're horrible, you're lousy, you're bad. Imagine what we're doing to them. Oh, well, that's a whole nother show. So back to having this power in your adversity. Can you imagine that? And see, some people, that may be the reason why it's hard to imagine, because all their lives they've always been taught and shown and they've learned. Because some things we learned, nobody purposely set out to show us or teach us, but we learned as we went along. But some people have learned that an adversity is the end of a thing. That means something is over. That means something has gone wrong. That means something is negative, as opposed to looking at, wait a minute, this thing came to make me strong. This thing came to bless me. Don't quite know how yet. But that's why you got to get to that drawing board versus the drowning board. And what you do at this drawing board is critical. It is critical. Now, here's another part of this. And I certainly want to welcome all of those that have tuned into the show. Good morning. Oh, my God, my good, wonderful, lovely new friend, Miss Brenda Calloway. So good morning to you. Okay, Motivation Master. Awesome. I see you there in the chat room. Good morning, good morning. Yes, if you have any questions or comments, that's right. You can certainly type them into the switchboard. You can also dial in to 908. I'm sorry, I'm about to give you my home number. You can dial in to 347-945-7991. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes, okay. Wow, set up on the computer and all. Oh, right, Miss Brenda, I'm scared of you. I heard you working on that book, girl. You about to blow up. Brenda, see, I didn't even realize you were in the chat room there, but you know what? I really feel that this message is targeted right at you. Take the power of your adversity. Make it your ammunition for your ambition, okay? So take the power of your adversity. Make it your ammunition to achieve your ambitions. You can do it. You can do it. But you got to sit down to the drawing table, not the drowning board. Getting back to the drawing table, I just wanted to stop in the chat room for a minute and say good morning to those of you. Good morning, Mr. Obey on the switchboard. Good morning, good morning. Listen, I'm telling y'all, it is time to go another way, a new way. We're going to take every adversity, and we're going to see the power in it. We're going to understand that a setback is a setup for a comeback. And the only reason that you don't come back bigger and better, because we're not just talking about coming back for the sake of coming back. We're not coming back at the same level. You got to get that in your spirit. I'm not coming back at the same level. I have been stretched. My adversity has stretched me. That's why it hurts. That's why adversity is so painful sometimes. Because when you stretch something, you're taking it from its current state. And you're stretching it, and you're putting stress there, like with a rubber band. You stretch it. It's putting stress. And if you continue to stretch it, you can stress it out, and it'll pop. But see, here's the difference. When we pop, we're going higher. When you stretch us, that's the growth. That's the good in it. So making sure that just like with a plant, I love Howard's book, Seeds. When something is being planted, it goes down first. Ah, look at that. It goes down first to come up. So, ooh, wow. Howard, I hope you got that in your book, man. If not, you're going to put it there. I'm sure you probably do, right? Wow. You got to go down first before you go up. Oh, man, I think I'm about to preach right now. But here's the thing, adversity. So in other words, you almost need an adversity. Oh, wow, I think I just hit on. Call up TBN right now, Word Network, Oprah, call them up. I think I'm ready now, Howard. Yes, you almost, it sounds like, wait a minute, sounds like we need adversity to be great. And I know that's not rocket science. I know y'all like, but Lisa, we've been knowing that. Coach, we got you. We got that already. That's what Dr. Stephen Covey, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and all the rest, Anthony Robbins, that's what they all know. Wow. Howard Scott, Les Brown, that's what they all know. Jill Diamond Taylor, all the great motivational speakers. That's what they all know. Moses, Paul, James, Timothy, that's what they all know. Jesus, hello. think we spend all day Sunday talking about it. You got to go down first, people. Because, you see, when you go down, you're not just going down. You're going down to get some stuff. You're going down to get the knowledge, the strength, the power to come back up bigger and better, farther along than what you would have been had you just been on a nice, easy course with no adversities. Show me a person. I love to compare these two people. A person that just had no adversities in life. Let me catch them around age 40 and give me somebody that had great adversity, but they went to the drawing board instead of the drowning board. Woo! I bet you. Those two lives don't look nothing alike. I'd be willing to bet that the person who went to the drawing board on their every single adversity, I bet they are superly ahead in every aspect of the word than the person who just went through life with just no adversities. Everything came easy to them. Everything was given to them. And give me somebody, I bet you would see people like the Donald Trumps of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, the Oprah Winfreys of the world, and many, many other names. I'm just naming a few big names that most people know. But there are tons of people's names who we don't know, names we have never heard of, who are doing great and awesome. But what good would I could name John Sculley, but do you know him? I could name, you know, this person or that person, but would you know them? So, no, I'm naming names of people that most of us know. People who had great adversity, because we see them and we think that they had all the breaks in the world. No, we see the Oprahs and these people like that, and we think, boy, they must have had a ton of breaks. But no, it's the opposite. They had a ton of adversity, y'all. Read their backgrounds. You know, go out and get a book, Nobody's to Somebody's. I bought a book like that one day. These people had great adversities. The Jacksons, some people, before Michael passed away, and even in his death, the man is still making money. Tupac Shakur, even in these people's death, they're still making they're making more money than some of us are making a lifetime in their death. These people had great adversities. They didn't have everything handed to them. They didn't have a road, you know, a bed of ease. They had major adversities. And what I'm saying is time for us to take our adversities and make something powerful out of it. Let it be the ammunition for our ambition. All you need is an ambition. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was born in the 50s. And so parents today rely on handheld devices to raise their children, let's face it. But parents couldn't do that in the 50s because there were none. They could barely rely on television. I know in my house, I remember when we first got a TV set. I remember that day, okay? Oh, boy, were we excited. We didn't always have a TV in my house. And it was okay with my mother because my mother didn't have a TV in her house. And that's how her and my uncle became such lovers of reading because there was no television. And so to entertain themselves, they didn't have a choice but to read a book. And she became to be a lover of reading and books. Well, that, and she tried to establish that with her children. So we didn't have TV when I was a kid. I remember reading Betsy, Tacy, and Tib. I remember reading all the little Dick Jane books and some other books that my mother had around the house that she would try to get us to read. She had to make me read them because for some reason I didn't really want to sit. See, I didn't want to sit still long enough. You got to have patience to read. I learned that. I used to think that reading was about being smart. That's what I thought. Yeah, I did. But then it took me all years and years and years of research to realize that it's more about being patient. It's about wanting to sit still long enough. Like if there was audiobooks back when I was 8 or 9, oh, I would have been a superstar in school. Are you kidding? If they had audiobooks back then, what? Oh, I would have been a straight A student because I could have done it on the go because I was a child on the go. But that wasn't the case back then. And even today, I wonder how many parents would, you know, their children listen to a lot of stuff through headsets. I wonder if they would consider getting their textbook downloaded through an iPod or something like that for the same child and let them listen on the go. I was a kid that wanted to listen on the go to things, and I spent a lot of time listening, you know, to music and what have you, and I wanted to listen to things that had a rhythm. So I wanted to listen versus sitting there reading it. So I probably would have listened to a lot more. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe some of you might want to try it with your kids that don't want to sit and read. Don't just tell them you're horrible because you won't do it, because that will mess them up for life. Instead, try to fit their personality, their abilities. Try to fit what their abilities are. Every kid's abilities are different. So adversity, you can take power over your adversity right now and right today. You must take power over your adversity today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to the drawing board. You are going to come up with a set of steps that will allow you to grow from whatever has happened. Think of ways. Just let your mind, you know, kind of brainstorm with yourself. Just think of ways that you can take that adversity and launch into the future. Whether you start a school from it, a class from it, start a new business from it, understanding that you are never, it is never about you. You are never going through anything by yourself. There are always at least a million other people going through it as well, if not at least 100,000. At least 100,000 other people going through what you've been through. Just know that. And what can you do to help? Don't worry about helping yourself right now. What can you do to help that 100,000 people out of their adversity? Because the moment that you do not get on the phone, call everybody, tell them about your problem, how horrible it is, that's the day you step into the realm of power of adversity. So that's your benchmark. As long as you're still, when an adversity comes your way, don't feel the need to tell everybody how horrible it was, as opposed to getting with people like Coach Alisa, Motivation Master, and many others of you on here, Kiva and various ones, until you're ready to contact those individuals and talk about a strategy for where you're going because of the adversity, you're still stuck in the old way. The new way is upward, onward with greatness. What is the pleasure to bring to you this Monday morning, right after this weekend? We're going now to get ready for our speech at Seton Hall University with the youth there, age 14 to 18, which I'm very excited about, to go talk to them about some of their adversities, because they got plenty, y'all. These young people got adversities galore. But that's what we're going to go talk to them about. So you all have a wonderful day. Great seeing each and every one of you. Hypno Solutions, awesome. Good morning again, Miss Kiva Renee, Miss Brenda. Yes, all right. Send you something to eat. Okay, no problem. We will definitely do that, Miss Brenda. That's right, there's no stopping us now. We just have a few seconds left. We'll be back here tomorrow, Tuesday. Take that adversity, turn it into an ambition, because you got all the ammunition to achieve it. there's power in your adversity. But you got to believe it. This has been Coach Lalisa.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.